And you're listening to 90.7
FM
WGXC
AGRA.
You can find out about so many local events, like the traditional Irish music session. Every Sunday, there's an open Irish music jam at the Shamrock House in East Durham from 2 to 5 p.m. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org and add your own event to the WGXC community calendar and have it read on the radio at 90.7 FM by going to WGXC.org and clicking on the community calendar.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-I's into here's how you can's. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Mama Getty of Hyannis, Massachusetts. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Daily News for Friday, May 26th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Kevin Frey reports for New York State of Politics that two Hudson Valley congressional representatives are sniping at each other as Democrats want to increase the country's debt limit, while Republicans will only agree to that if Democrats agree to spending cuts. Republican Mark Molinaro, who represents the 19th congressional district, said, quote, "We can neither default nor can we sustain the rate of spending," unquote. Democrat Pat Ryan is complaining about the spending cuts the Republicans are demanding, even though increasing the country's debt limit was previously routine and nonpartisan. Ryan said, quote, "The money has to come from somewhere when you make cuts across the board," unquote. That means, Ryan said, that veterans will see cuts. Molinaro said, quote, "It's an outright lie that, quite frankly, doesn't astonish me. We have already moved forward with robust veterans funding," unquote. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. Mid-Hudson News reports that the Environmental Protection Agency will begin soil sampling after Memorial Day to see the level of toxic PCBs in the lower Hudson River. Monthly water sampling is being conducted in Poughkeepsie, Albany, and Troy for a year, and fish and blue crab are also being collected to see the impact of the dredging and removal of contaminated soil from the upper Hudson River. General Electric, the company responsible for putting the toxins in the Hudson River, paid for that dredging, and some activists want them to do more. The EPA's Gary Kiewinski said, quote, "We collect recently deposited sediment. We're collecting sediment where we collect fish, and we are collecting high-resolution sediment essentially to push a tube into the bottom of the river, pull it out, and you take each of the layers out of that tube and analyze them," unquote. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News. Andrea Macko reports for Porcupine Soup that Greenville's school system is holding a public forum about the books in the library from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. on May 30th in the high school middle school library. One parent complained about one book recently in the Greenville School Library, and the district has responded by explaining their policy. Earlier in May, the district released a library collection guidelines document and is now holding a public forum to explain their library policies. Superintendent Michael Bennett said, quote, "This session will be an opportunity for parents, educators, and community stakeholders to provide constructive feedback and suggestions regarding student access to books within the library," unquote. Read more about this story in Porcupine Soup. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, May 26th. Just want to thank everyone that came out to Left Bank Ciders last night, made some new friends over there, and finished off the soups. And that is double good because last night was cold and perfect for full tummies. Local early morning temperatures range from 32 freezing degrees in Steventown to 45 degrees in Voorheesville. Regional average soil temperature is 54 degrees. Pollen levels for today will be high, and they are expected to stay that way for the weekend. Water your plants. Soil is dry. Some fog could be expected to be drifting around this morning, but should disappear by 9 a.m. We get a high of 71 degrees at 5 p.m. Conditions will range from cool to comfortable most of the day with a moderate wind and sunny skies. 45 degrees overnight takes us into a sunny and warm Saturday. High of 77 happens at 5 p.m. Overnight temperatures drop to 50 degrees. Then on Sunday, things get pretty warm, hitting 83 at 4 p.m. Overnight, 55 degrees. Still good sleeping weather. Monday, Memorial Day, we hit a high of 84. Still mostly sunny. Get those sprinklers ready and be sure to have sunscreen or proper clothing on hand. The UV exposure is going back up, and some of you will feel it after prowling those yard sales all day long. Or perhaps you'll be down by the river, where the low tide happens at 2:27 a.m., high tide at 8:33 a.m., low tide again at 3:33 p.m., and high tide once again at 9:32 p.m. The river temperature will be 63 degrees, the tide strength will be low, and those conditions are expected to stay that way all weekend, so if that's the kind of paddle you're looking for, get out there. Sunset today will be at 8:04 p.m., sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:22 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances have dropped to 5%, and a possible coronal mass ejection could be coming by today. I think I'm going to start calling them Hadouken. Big, strong, electrically and magnetically charged plasma balls that don't move particularly fast. For instance, this Hadouken was released 4 days ago. Yeah, that totally works for me. Plasma winds will be average at 468 kilometers per second with a thin density of 1 proton per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 121, and this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate. Coronal mass ejection sounds like something I can't say on the radio anyway.
Hello? Hello, Mr. Taylor.
What do you want?
Turn on the radio.
I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you.
You're being grotesque.
The radio, remember? Make it work.
Radio. It tends to induce...
Now it's pretty late.
Why don't you switch on the radio?
I refuse to discuss it any further.
Oh, please, you must.
Please don't treat me like a mental patient. Mental patient.
Do you believe that? Not for a second. Do you realize what this means?
Don't look for it, Taylor. That's
the radio.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor.
And suddenly...
Synchro! Synchro system. Synchro system. I'm
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
Veterans have given enough. They don't need to be hit again, especially by a manufactured crisis.
Vietnam veteran and Democratic Representative Mike Thompson of California says lawmakers should work through the holiday weekend to ensure the nation does not enter a historic default. Thompson says millions of veterans would be impacted by delays in pension payments, disability compensation, and health care. Experts predict the U.S. has roughly 1 week for House Republicans and the White House to reach a deal on the debt ceiling. The Supreme Court has dealt a major blow to the Clean Water Act, narrowing federal authority over wetlands. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says the decision takes the country backwards.
The Clean Water Act is the reason why America's lakes today are swimmable, why we can fish in our streams and rivers, and why safe drinking water comes out of our taps.
The court said wetlands can only be regulated under the Clean Water Act if they have a continuous surface connection to larger regulated bodies of water. The ruling limits the Biden administration's efforts to restore protections to millions of acres of wetlands. Texas is on track to join other GOP-led states that have pulled out of a bipartisan effort to ensure accurate voting lists. The Electronic Registration Information Center, or ERIC, has become a target of suspicion among Republican activists. Texas State Representative Valerie Swanson questioned ERIC's mailings to remind eligible voters to register.
You're sending cards to people who may appear to be eligible, but perhaps they're not a citizen, or you don't realize they're a felon in some other state that's not part of ERIC.
Texas lawmakers plan to replace ERIC with their own unproven system. Florida, Missouri, West Virginia, and Louisiana have also recently left ERIC. South Carolina joined its neighboring southern states Thursday in banning most abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy. South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster says he is confident the law will withstand any legal challenges.
Ultimately, I think you'll have a lot of states addressing their laws and making them much more stringent than they are today.
Providers quickly filed a lawsuit seeking to block the law, saying it comes just 4 months after the state's highest court halted a nearly identical measure. The founder of the Oath Keepers extremist group has been sentenced to 18 years in prison for his plotting to attack the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021. Stuart Rhodes is the first person charged in the attack to be sentenced for seditious conspiracy. His sentence is the longest that has been handed down so far in the hundreds of Capitol riot cases. And Connecticut lawmakers are considering the most wide-ranging package of gun safety measures since the 2012 Sandy Hook school shooting. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. May 29th ends the Texas legislature's term. We have a bit of good news, some bad news, and some hopeful news. On the upside, more funding for poll workers and improvements to mail-in voting. On the downside, withdrawal from ERIC, the voter registration cross-check system. Governor Greg Abbott signed SB 1052, which compensates poll workers for work before the polls open, and the Texas House passed SB 1599, improving tracking of mail-in ballots and more options to fix vote-by-mail applications and ballots before Election Day. The bill goes back to the Senate for approval. As Vote Beat Texas reports, it's not all good news. A bill setting rules for an alternative to the Multi-State Electronic Registration Information Center, or ERIC, is poised for passage by the Texas House. ERIC's system identified over 900,000 Texas voters who were duplicated, had moved, or died to keep voter rolls clean. But conspiracy-driven activists have pushed states to pull out of ERIC despite no comparable alternatives. Pro-democracy groups are hopeful that some bills will die with the end of the legislative term, making it a felony for ineligible citizens who vote, even inadvertently, ending countywide voting, and giving the Secretary of State the power to order a new election, a bill targeting only liberal-leaning Harris County. We have more in the Texas legislation at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org, where you can also sign up for the daily report by email. I'm Brian Beal.
We'll be right back.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
This is Bria Barthel for Hudson Mohawk Magazine. 2 years ago, I started working with Hudson Mohawk and did my first couple of interviews with Ellie Van Walsheim with the Mooncatcher Project, and I'm delighted to be talking with Ellie again. Ellie, welcome back to Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Tell us a little something about the Mooncatcher Project. How do you catch the moon?
Well, you know, there's over 5,000 different expressions for menstruation, for your period. And my favorite one of all is I'm on my moon. And so when we first heard about this problem of girls and women not being able to take care of their menstruation, I thought, well, I'd like to design something that would catch your moon, something that's reusable and washable and will last for a while.
Why is this important?
Well, there's schoolgirls all over the world that live in very, very poor communities that cannot afford to buy disposable products. And what they do is they use things like banana leaves and grasses and old cloths and things like that. But to make matters even worse, they don't have underwear. So even if they use those products, there's no way to hold it in place. So what I wanted to do is to design something that you could wear without underwear that would make it possible for these schoolgirls to go to school during their period. Very often what happens is when a girl drops out of school, her family will marry her off. So she ends up with a husband who's usually older than her by quite a bit, who's a stranger to her. He gets her pregnant, and now you've got babies having babies, and the cycle of poverty continues.
I like a phrase that I saw in one of your stickers, that a period should be the end of a sentence, not the end of a girl's education.
Yeah, that was taken from that great documentary that won the Oscar, oh, I don't know, about 5 years ago, I guess. It was just so fabulous. A period should end a sentence, not a girl's education.
You said before we started recording that you started this in 2011, so that's 12 years ago. Tell us a little bit about the scope. You're in a couple countries, right?
Well, we have sent our kit to, last count was 37 countries. We have sewing cooperatives in several countries. We have 7 sewing cooperatives. They're in Africa and India, but we also have sewing cooperatives that are financed by other organizations that are in the Philippines and other places in Africa. We started one in Haiti that's not going so well because of all the turmoil there, but all over the world we're doing this.
37 countries.
Right. Isn't that crazy?
And besides sending products to 37 countries, you mentioned the cooperatives. How do those work?
We have sewing cooperatives where people come together to actually sew our kit. We pay them for the labor. We pay them for the supplies. And then we hire teachers to go into the schools, distribute the kits, and teach about menstrual management and reproductive health.
And I know you said that you had started the education facet of it for both the boys and the girls. Why was that important?
We began to realize that one of the reasons girls were staying home from school during their period is because of the humiliation or just the teasing that was happening from boys. And even though at the beginning I was quite angry about this, I began to understand that it's because the boys didn't have any information. So we put together a curriculum, and we now, as often as we can, we teach the boys as well as the girls. We teach them separately, and then we ask the girls for their permission to have the boys come into the classroom. And I love that piece because it really empowers these girls. They get a say in what's going to happen. And they usually eventually say, yeah, let the boys come in. And then they all talk together about menstruation and periods and how they can solve this problem together.
That's wonderful. So you're on an international basis in 37 countries promoting menstrual hygiene. So it seems like there's a celebration day, an honor day coming up that is relevant. What's that?
on Sunday, the 28th of May, there is International Menstrual Hygiene Day. It's being celebrated all over the world. There's workshops, performances, art installations, you name it. A lot of talk about period poverty, about the rights of girls and women to be able to be part of their community every day of the month. And what the Mooncatcher Project is doing the day before, on the 27th, Saturday, we're having a moon bee. A moon bee is very much like your grandmother's quilting bee. We get together and we make our menstrual kit. The difference is we invite men, we invite boys and women and girls, and sometimes people bring their babies, and just everybody's welcome. You don't have to know how to sew. If you do know how, bring your sewing machine. If you don't, just come and we'll put you to work cutting and measuring and packing and whatever.
And she's serious, listeners, that it can be people with any skill level or people who think you don't have any skill level, because there's a lot of pieces involved. What goes into a kit?
There's a carrier that holds the actual pad. There's a waterproof bag that you can put your used pad in. There are, and you get three pads. And then there's a drawstring bag that you can hold everything in. And this carrier is worn between your legs and then tied around your waist, so you really don't have to have underwear. The other thing I wanted to say is that this moon bee is in Schenectady at the Unitarian Church, 1221 Wendell Avenue, from 2 to 4 on Saturday the 27th.
Now, a lot of these products, if you are sending things or having them made in 37 countries, go abroad, and yet there's a need for such kits and for approaches to end period poverty here in the U.S. and even right here in the Capital Region. Can you tell us something about that?
Yeah. The reason we give disposable products in the United States is that it's very hard for people, if you're living in a homeless shelter or in a situation where you have problem with finances, to be able to wash something. So we collect disposable items. We do a big push in March to collect items. And then all year long, as we do Moonbees, we ask people to bring disposables. We've also made a period pantry, which is very much like your free library, the little libraries you see all over the place. So you take a book and you give a book if you have one. And period pantries are like that. If you need menstrual supplies, you can go there and get them. If you're privileged enough to be able to buy some to put in these pantries, that's very welcome and very needed. Our pantry that we just had built by these wonderful women in Maine, one of them happens to be my sister, and her business partner.
Just happens to be your sister.
Yeah, just happens to be my sister. Their period pantry that they made for us, by the way, they call it the blood box. This is going to be put in Cohoes in an area where this is a need.
And there are period pantries or blood boxes, gotta love that term, here in the Capital Region already, in Albany and two in Schenectady.
Pretty sure there's three in Schenectady. The Capital District Menstrual Hygiene Coalition is really taking the lead on this and making sure that there's period pantries in the Capital District. And I think they're planning to put some in Troy, too, if they're not already there. So it's pretty cool. It's written.
And that was started by a couple women who were fellows in the Cornell Cooperative Extension Office who said, hey, there's a need here in the area for free menstrual products. And then they met up with you, and the rest is history.
That's right. Now we're all partners. It's been great.
Okay. And if people wanted more information about your Moonbee on Saturday the 27th, on International Menstrual Hygiene Day, how can they get more information?
Go to our website, www.mooncatcher.org.
Again, this is Bria Barthel talking with Ellie Van Walsheim, who started the Mooncatcher Project. It has expanded since 2011 to distribute 30,000 menstrual kits a year on average in 37 different countries, and it all began in the basement of her Schenectady house. Ellie, thanks for talking with us, and thanks for everything you do.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Yesterday my life was filled with rain. Sunday smiled at me and really eased the pain. Oh, the dark days are gone and the bright days are here. My sunny one child, so sincere. Oh, sunny one, so true.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Roger Hannigan-Gilson reports for the Times Union that apple and grape crops were hit hard by the late season frost last week. One farming expert told the newspaper that 30 to 35% of the region's apple crop was lost in the frost. Golden Harvest Farm in Columbia County, with about 200 acres of apple trees, saw temperatures of 29.1 degrees on May 18. Michael Migliori, president of the Hudson Valley Wine and Grape Association, said of local growers, and I quote, "The last time they saw a frost this late that caused this much damage was 60 years ago," end quote. Migliori, who owns Whitecliff Vineyard and Winery, said his vineyards suffered different effects depending on their geography. Migliori's Ulster County Vineyard lost between 50 to 60% of its grapes, while his Columbia County Vineyard only lost about 5% of its grapes because its location on the east bank of the Hudson River was warmer. His Greene County Vineyard was, and I quote, 100% wiped out, end quote. Federal crop insurance will help some farmers with their losses, and a federal disaster declaration could mean payments from the U.S. Department of Agriculture to farmers in need. Migliori said, and I quote, is it going to make up for what happened? No. Will it possibly give you a lifeline to keep you afloat and in business? Maybe, end quote. Read the full story in the Times Union. Nancy Kern reports for Columbia Green Media that the Greene County Legislature has approved a new contract for the Greene County Corrections Unit, Council 82. The four-year contract gives workers cost of living increases of 4%, 3%, 3%, and 2.5% through 2025, plus employees' health care premium shares increase from 10% to 12.5%, with work hours and shift hours remaining the same. Currently, the Greene County Jail spends $2,156,418 on salaries for 32 correction officers. The county recently had to spend $100,000 transferring female inmates elsewhere and closing the women's pod at the jail because of a shortage of corrections officers. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Jamal Cutler reports for Columbia Green Media that more than 50 people rallied on May 23rd outside Assemblyperson D.D. Barrett's Hudson office in favor of the proposed good cause eviction law. For the many, the Hudson-Catskill Housing Coalition, Food and Water Watch, the Columbia County Sanctuary Movement, and Rivers and Mountains Green Faith were among the group protesting to get Barrett to vote their way. Bravan Ranga, political director of For the Many, said, and I quote, D.D. Barrett has betrayed the people of Columbia and Dutchess counties. Instead of working to address the housing and climate crisis, Barrett has spent her decade in the assembly doing the bidding of the real estate and fossil fuel industries. She won't even meet with our members to discuss how legislation like good cause eviction would help them stay in their homes. Barrett's support for gutting our state's climate laws should be the last straw for her constituents. We are discussing our options ahead of next year's primaries and will announce our decision soon, end quote. Claire Cousin, the former executive director of the Hudson-Catskill Housing Coalition, has already announced a primary challenge to Democrat Barrett in next year's election. Cousin said about Barrett, and I quote, she should be fighting for good cause eviction, not to pump more fossil fuels into our environment. That's why I've decided to run against her in next year's Democratic primary, because Columbia and Dutchess County deserve better representation in Albany, end quote. Barrett responded to the protest saying, and I quote, I passed and led on a lot of legislation that brought money back to the district. Millions of dollars for housing, police, libraries, schools. I'm working to do all the progressive things that I feel that the district wants me to do. I've been a progressive my entire life, and people can protest. It's part of our democracy. People need to be honest. There are a lot of lies out there, bills that I have nothing to do with, end quote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow. And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Friday, it will be sunny with a high near 70 degrees. On Friday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 45 degrees. And on Saturday, sunny with a high near 76 degrees. And Saturday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 49 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
As I was a-going down the road with a tired feeling and a heavy load, out jumped the sheriff and he hollered out bail, and he locked me up in the Delhi jail. Rotten old pork he gave me to eat, sour molasses to make it sweet. They piled my coffee in a rusty old pail, and that's the way they used me in the Delhi jail. Now I'm free and out of that door. I pray the Lord I go there no more, for the birds am a-flying without their tail. So to hell with the sheriff and the Delhi jail.
Barbara Moncure from the album Folk Songs of the Catskills. That was the Delhi Jail on WGXC 90.7 FM.
When I think that South Paradise was right, boys and girls in America, they're such a sad time together. Sucking off each other at the demonstrations, making sure they make us straight. They're crushing one another with colossal expectations, depending on discipline, sleep, and weight. She was a really cool kisser, and she wasn't all that strict of a Christian. She was a damn good dancer, but she wasn't all that great of a girlfriend. He likes the warm feeling, but he's tired of all the dehydration. Most nights are crystal clear, but tonight it's like he's stuck between stations. John Berry, but they took a walk together and they ended up on Washington talking to the river. He said, I surrounded myself with doctors and deep thinkers, the big heads and soft bodies make for lousy lovers. There was that night that we thought that John Berry could fly, but he didn't, so he died. She said, you're pretty good with words, but words won't save your life, and they didn't, so he died. And he was drunk and exhausted, but he was critically acclaimed. He loved the gold gophers, but he hated all the drawn-out winters. He likes the warm feeling, but he's tired of all the dehydration. Most nights are kind of fuzzy, but that last night he had total retention. And his Twin City kisses, they sound like clicks and hisses. We all come down and drown. We drink and we dry up, and now we crumble into dust. We get wet and we corrode, and now we're covered up in rust. Dry up and now we crumble in the dust. We get wet, we corrode, and now we're covered up in rust. She was a really cool kisser, and she wasn't all that strict of a Christian. She was a damn good dancer, but she wasn't all that great of a girlfriend. He likes the warm feeling, but he's tired of all the dehydration. Most nights are crystal clear, but tonight it's like he's stuck between stations. These Twin City kisses, they sound like clicks and hisses. We all come down and drown.